You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. It's the after party, Westworld, episode 6, The Adversary.
The Adversary.
Which is a ironic title considering, like, you have no idea who that's referring to.
Yeah, it could be literally anyone except Dolores, who is notably absent in this episode.
Yeah, who's just not in this episode at all.
Yeah, which I was like, I didn't think that was going to happen. But boy, they made up for it with Thandie Newton. Jesus.
Yeah, Thandie Newton really dominated this episode, to be sure. And she's first off, brave actress.
Considering she's naked as a jaybird for most of this episode.
I will say, though, that her sequence is, as much as it was like the high point of this episode, and the bulk of it even, I had problems with the two techs and their reasonings.
Felix and Sylvester?
Their reasonings seem like... You're really going along with this?
Yeah, it's one of the weaker moments of writing, in my opinion. Even though I love that little troika, I think they're fun. But yeah, you're just like, you know, there's really no way that any of them would be like, well, I'm going to expose you for fucking the robots. It's like, fuck you, dude. I'm not gonna jump up your Turing potential just because, you know, I've been, you know, getting handies from the Dolores bots.
Yeah, I'll probably get like a dock and pay if it turns out that me, along with probably many other people who work here, are occasionally getting some sex time.
Yes, which, you know, Elsie has already kind of betrayed that she knows that shit's going on anyway.
Hey, I'm totally unclear what Felix's reasoning is, other than like, hey, I'm real curious about AI stuff.
Yeah, they needed a higher stake there, and they didn't provide it, and yeah, it was a weaker moment. That being said, like, her being, like, him leading her through the different levels of the, you know, the inner workings of the Delos site, where it was awesome.
Yeah, and really just trying to imagine.
Although
that
once
from
again,
her point
I'm like,
view.
Really, escalators?
Yeah,
you guys sure like escalators.
Just trying to imagine that from her point of view.
Yeah,
you know, of like, Jesus Christ, what a nightmare. Even to the point of like seeing on the big video screen something she thought was a dream that she would have,
which is really interesting, because the one of the things you'll catch in that is that they're showing scenes from her memories, but mm-hmm. she is not the woman in that promo video.
Right.
You know, there's another black woman who is, you know, ostensibly a host as well.
Did you catch the biggest Easter egg in the whole thing?
The gunfighter?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. If you guys didn't see it, it's blink and you'll miss it almost.
Yeah.
Bernard in the bowels of the
foggy.
Institute. It's Yul Brynner's robot gunfighter is down there.
Which is another point I'm like, what, you know... What is the setup of this corporate structure that they're like, well, we can't use the old offices anymore. I guess we'll build some new ones on top of them. And then there's just like, you know, this rained out fucking beat ass,
right,
you know, old office. And you're like, what? Wait, what the fuck happened down here?
Something out of a horror movie.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like, oh, don't go down past level 14 because all of those levels are directed by David Fincher.
I wonder, like, they've been very cagey about the degree to which this is related to the original films.
Sure.
And sure enough, that robot might have been nothing.
Especially
but
with the timeline throwouts. And I gotta say, you know, having gone back and rewatched some stuff at this point, it's like, the logo is definitely a big, like...
Two different logos.
Yeah, two different logos. And you see that again in the older, like, you know, beat down Dell computers they were using in the lower offices.
I mean,
still have that logo.
Duality is definitely the primary theme for the show.
Sure.
I mean, down to the fact that it seems all but certain that there's at least two timelines, that I'm thinking there are just two.
I'm thinking there are just two as well.
Partially because you look back, I don't know if you got a chance to send that video I said earlier today, which refers back to, I think it was the first episode where Robert Ford is explaining how the whole original idea for the way these robots were built psychologically was based on a very obscure psychological test called the bicameral mind, which is all about sort of duality, and there are two.
Yeah, and this idea that, you know, we understand that our inner monologue is just our brain talking to us, mm-hmm. whereas the idea is, well, back in the past, the theory is that people were like, oh, no, that's God.
Yeah.
You know, which explains a lot. It explains, you know, a lot of the, you know, like, you know, allegorical things that you'll get in religions. Like, you know, there probably wasn't just like one garden with a dude and a guy in it that they got kicked out of. That's probably an allegory for something.
Right.
Because our brains weren't wired to understand, like, you know, the actual physics involved with the planet coming about.
Well, it's interesting that the more you look at what that theory actually was, the more it ties into very specific things that have happened over the length of the show.
Sure.
Like the mention that the guy, fucking Lee, who is the one character on this whole show, if they killed, I'll be fine with.
And
the whiny story guy who did not get his story.
Oh, yeah.
This episode a distressing amount this week. His thing was called The Odyssey.
Yes.
Which, you know, like the bicameral mind specifically refers to Homer's the Iliad and the Odyssey were the beginning of modern human consciousness.
Yeah.
Like he bases it's a very complicated theory. Look it up if you want to, but it's clear that they were really looking at this for ideas to filter through the show.
Sure.
As well as the fact that Arnold.
There's a lot of shout outs to Brave New World.
True.
That run throughout the series.
But Arnold is very much like that voice from the bicameral mind in these robots. But now we're starting to ask ourselves, wait a minute, is Arnold actually dead?
Well, and we're getting some real ones, and that's, you know, now my tense, holy shit, fucking next week, I'm like, sure enough, my favorite character is probably about to get capped.
I see, I read another site said Elsie, the programmer, who's like has that very scary moment in the old theater, like finding the thing and then being grabbed by something. Like, I don't think any of us realized how essential she was to the show until this episode and how much we'd miss her if she wasn't there.
Yeah, no.
She's, like, by far the most human of any of the
I know, and I absolutely love her. She's my favorite downstairs character. And, yeah, like, the whole time she's in that building, like, fucking around, and I'm like, just get out. Just take the computer and leave.
Yeah, you're very nerve-wracked watching that.
Yeah, and which is good because, you know, as we've mentioned before, one of the things about this series is you've got to look to a lot of different places for your stakes because, you know, if you kill, you know, James Marsters has already been killed like five or six times in the course of the series. So.
Right.
But yeah, there were a lot of fun little things here. I think the little bit with Ford in his office was very interesting when he goes to get what is obviously a very old journal, you know, something that dates back and, you know, because it shows, you know, kind of a sketch of the insides of a host and it's still mechanical, you know, there's pistons and shit. But at the very same time, we're seeing sketches of Dolores, which goes back to she's one of the first hosts. And also the Hopi maze design, which is, you know, so that goes like, okay, the maze has always been around. And another thing I thought was cool was he has a bit of sculpture on his desk that looks like one of those, like, I don't know if you've ever seen when they pour molten lead into an anthill, and then they break it out and it makes these really bizarre patterns because it flows into all where all the caverns and shit are. He's got something that looks a lot like that on his desk, and I'm like, wow, that's kind of how the Delos Corporation is set up. You know, insofar as like the building, their building is actually in one of the mazes on the world.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah.
And then we also get a new perspective on the Hopi maze design from, Teddy's character.
Teddy's character
who actually fulfills the entire mythology behind it in that world, which is interesting. And does it or does it not tie back to the sequence where Bernard goes looking for the area where something's been going wrong?
He looks where there have apparently been other strays.
Yeah, and finds Anthony Hopkins got his own private little nostalgia box.
And not only that, and I don't know if you noticed this, but the dude who is ostensibly his father in that scene is the spitting image of the person that they showed in the picture of you know, Arnold.
Yep.
You know?
Once again, coming back to that theory, maybe Bernard is a host who is programmed with the consciousness
programmed to look like
Arnold.
And yeah, that's one idea is that, well, maybe that picture that he's seeing is not actually Arnold. And yeah, there's plenty of mindfuckery in there. I'm kind of leaning more towards the Bernard isn't a host, but there's definitely something trippy about his conversation, something timeliney and trippy about his conversations with Dolores.
Yeah, and both his and Anthony Hopkins, Robert right. Ford's conversation, who both seem to be trying to get something out of her different, you know, but both are realize sure. there's something important going on.
There's some gaming going on. There's some chess playing.
So what's the deal with Charlotte Hale, who's the new lady who shows up at the bar and then Lee hits on her and then it turns out she's the new boss?
I don't know.
Yeah, she was from Creed, if you remember, Tessa Thompson.
Okay.
Yeah, and who is an excellent actress, so yeah, I'm glad to see her in here. But that's an interesting, like, this is the first real new character we've had since,
yeah,
like,
especially
episode.
From downstairs. It's weird, you know, the writer character, which I was you know, kind of rooting for, because, you know, he's my analog, hasn't been given much to do other than be kind of officious. And so, yeah, I don't know what his game here, if he's going to blossom into something more interesting. That was one of the weaker areas of the story, of this episode.
Yeah, it's just a setup that doesn't really tell us much other than, God, I hate that Lee guy.
And, you know, it also shows that, oh, it's kind of our view of the main building of Delos. It's like, okay, this is where people hang out when they're not, like, actively gaming.
Let me say, another part of that I thought was actually weak was, how are you not fired immediately by pissing on the giant map?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm like, how are you not immediately fired?
Absolutely.
What is happening here?
Yeah.
I will say, in terms of that basement area and all that, I think that there's... Along the last couple episodes, we've had more and more hints of, like, there are, and this one as well, with the old theater, there's whole areas of the park that are just completely decommissioned.
Sure.
That, because it's just been around for so long. And if this does, in fact, tie back to the movies, it means at one point, perhaps there really was other worlds that they have that they decided to decommission and just focus on their strengths.
And, you know, it's weird, you know, because certainly one of my theories is that this is probably, you know, so it's some kind of satellite of some sort. And people have mentioned that, you know, it couldn't be on the moon or an intergalactic body, more likely than not, because Bernard speaks to Gina Torres over, you know, what is ostensibly a phone,
be, like, a lot of people specify that scene feels like a scene from the past where maybe that's right. when Bernard was Arnold.
Yeah. So, and there may be, but there is no delay between so there's, like, well, you can have a simultaneous conversation with somebody who's in a geosynchronous satellite.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a little shout out. One of the things Sylvester says when they're discussing Maeve's, intelligence boost is he's like, you're not an orbital launch. You're not running an orbital launch station. It's like, okay, well, that's
a thing that exists.
An interesting phrase to choose when one is discussing intelligence.
Yeah, there's an awful lot of those offhand remarks in the show that you have to go, huh. And
exactly. Which is exactly what he did. I was like, space.
Yeah, I suspect that is going to end up being actually true. But it's so hard to say. I read interviews with the creators who were like, actually, a lot of the fans are about 2/3 of the way there with their theories.
Sure.
So I'm thinking, like the they're confirming, basically it's got to be the 2-time period.
I've joined some fan groups on Facebook, and which is really intense, because some of them, like,
they get,
know,
some pretty wacky theories out.
Well, there's some wacky theory. I mean, there's also people who are just like, you know, that Man in Black, I don't understand his motivations. It's like, really? I don't know what to tell you, because that has literally not been answered. But yeah, it went from, you know, starting up, I guess, 6 weeks ago now to almost being almost 5,000 members strong, which is just, it's like, people are watching this.
It's quickly getting the same sort of, like, right off the bat, cracky fandom that Lost had when it started.
Absolutely.
It's not surprising. It's from Abrams and Company.
Yeah.
It's a big mystery, you know, and I also have seen people who are refusing to start watching it because they're like, yeah, I don't want to get burned. You know, or they just didn't like that sort of Lost.
Oh, thing, sure. Yeah. You know? No, they're definitely, you know, I certainly do have to tell people that it's just like, look, it's Jonathan Nolan. It's not, JJ isn't writing it. It's you'll be fine.
Right. Well, JJ wasn't really writing Lost either, to
be
fair.
That's true enough.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm loving this in a way that I would say as well is very similar to the way I was enjoying Lost. I love looking at all these puzzle pieces and seeing how they'll assemble, especially on a show with such a great big budget. You know, yeah. They can do lots of cool stuff. I mean, the scene where young robot Ford's head opens
up. Oh, yeah,
up,
that was awesome.
Like, oh, my God, that's so cool.
Yeah.
I mean, there's always nice little moments like that. One thing before we finish off, I want to say it was actually kind of startling this episode was watching Teddy, who's just like,
oh, yeah, he goes in a full-on murder mode, finally. It's just like, we've just been getting, like, and it's kind of funny because in the first episode, you're led to go, oh, well, here's the rootin' tootin' gunfighter. He's going to be the badass, and he's, you know, basically spent the last five episodes getting shot all the time, and literally the crap beaten out of him. And, yeah, now he's finally like, finally, somebody gives me a machine gun.
Well, yeah, Ed Harris's character mention something about, like, now he's got a little vinegar in him thanks to the new updates, mm-hmm. you know, where it's like, okay, so that Wyatt story, which is being created and pushed by Ford, it's evolving as they're updating stuff.
Right.
And I'm wondering, and it really looked like Wyatt was Teddy's just as bad as Wyatt in that memory that he suddenly has. Of
yeah, there's a little bit. You're like, I'm thinking you might have Jonah Hexed out on you.
They're rewriting him as a black hat.
Yeah.
You know, which is very interesting. Or maybe they're going to rewrite him just to be Wyatt, period. Maybe he ends up being Wyatt.
I don't know. That's a little esoteric. I think, you know, there's a lot of... And my term for it is Cylon spotting, mm-hmm. and I think that's a lot of what I'm getting from the fan base is they're probably a host. Well, that guy's probably a host. Well, that guy's probably a host too. And it's like, no, that's not how it works.
No, I don't think that's how it works either. Except for Bernard, who I think has a solid shot at being a host.
If anyone in there is a robot, you know, because they're certainly playing a lot of wink, wink, nod, nod at it. Is Bernard is stands a really good chance to be a host, but everybody else, I'm just like, no, Felix isn't a host.
No, Lester's not a host. But them saying their fans are like 2/3 of the way there means there's a whole third none of the fans have even thought of yet. Like,
which is sweet. About where we should stand. We've got four episodes to go. You know.
In the season, yeah.
Still not having
officially renewed it yet for a second season.
Oh, really?
Not officially, no.
Oh, well.
But HBO is like, that's weird for HBO because usually they'll be, if so confident right off the bat, they'll be like, after our first episode airs, they're like, yep, renewed for a second season.
Sure.
But the show takes so much time and effort to put together. I'm like, wow, there's going to be, the fact they haven't renewed it says to me that when they, and I think inevitably do renew it, it's going to be a big break between season one and season two.
Really?
Well, I mean, if they're not even started on season two.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, other than the writing, which they've said they were working on.
You know, it depends, and, you know, they're not, unlike, you know, say, Game of Thrones, they're not having to gallivant all over Europe to film this fucking thing.
Very true.
They just have to go to Monument Valley.
That's true.
Everything's fine.
Yeah,
so.
Monument Valley and the associated, like, set of trailers that look like, you know, weird spaceship
exactly.
Offices.
Spaceship.
Anyway, that's it for this week. We'll be back next week with episode 7. Very excited. I'm curious to know, I mean, this show has been moving its mythology forward so quickly, as opposed to Lost.
Yeah.
You know, which was very slow in advancing it. This one is all about it. I'm curious to know how far it's really going to go in season one alone.
I am too. I mean, you know, like, are we going to find out what the fuck the maze is? Are we going to get to the maze? You know, are they going to tell us anything about the Man in Black?
I'll tell you
this.
Are the
timelines gonna get any kind of convergence?
I'll tell you this. I suspect there's gonna be one hell of a cliffhanger.
I think so too. You know, I think there's also a fairly good chance that Anthony Hopkins is gonna end up getting Ned Stark.
Yeah, I completely agree with that possibility.
Yeah.
I just hope it doesn't end up with like Negan standing over all the
baseball
bats.
There's no baseball bats and or barbed wire involved.